So what a blessing 1 Peter was, those five chapters. And of course, the main theme of 1 Peter, as we were reminded last week, was suffering. And interestingly, Peter, who wrote 1 Peter, had a great understanding of suffering in his own life and ministry. But he shared that with believers, knowing that we would face suffering, and he wanted us to be able to face it with the right perspective. So in 1 Peter, we have testing through trials, which every Christian is going to experience. Now in 2 Peter, that's more about testing through false doctrine. Now the key word of 2 Peter is the word knowledge or knowing or know. It shows up 16 times. And so it was written to help believers get established in their faith because they were going to face tests in their beliefs. And that's still true today. The Bible says there are false prophets. The Bible says there are wolves in sheep's clothing that want to lead Christians astray. And so we have to be grounded in the Word of God so we're prepared for those things. And Peter wrote this epistle to help believers be grounded in the faith and be prepared. And that's why that's the number one word. It's the word knowledge or knowing. Matter of fact, the very last verse of the book is probably, if you had to pick a key verse, that would be it. Chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So he's reminding us we need to grow in grace and we need to grow in knowledge of Jesus. And that's really the theme of 2 Peter, is growing in our knowledge of our Savior. So we're going to look at the first four verses together this evening of 2 Peter chapter 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So I'm entitled the message, "From Precious Faith to Divine Nature." Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this evening and teach and grow us. We give you this service and pray you'll be glorified in it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably noticed already that word is popping up. In verse 2, it says, "through the knowledge of God." In verse 3, it says, "through the knowledge of Him that hath called us." In verse 4, it says, there in the beginning, "whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So it talks about promises there, which is more knowledge of God's Word. So we're talking tonight about a progression that God wants to see in our lives from the precious faith that we received to salvation to learning to live the divine nature that we were allocated, if you will, when we were saved. So he says here in verse 1 that to them that have obtained like precious faith. If you're born again tonight, you've obtained like precious faith. Amen? You obtained this amazing faith, salvation in Jesus Christ. And you obtained it not because of anything that you did, but because of what Jesus did. And through the righteousness, as it says there on in the verse, "with us through the righteousness of God." We receive this wonderful, precious faith because of what God did and because of who God is. It has nothing to do with us. God provided it as a gift through His righteousness. And you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." So the faith is another description of those that are born again. We are in the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, "for those of his own house he hath denied the faith." It says, "if any provide not for those of his own house," talking about people that don't provide for their family, it says he hath denied the faith. So he's referring to the faith as those that are born again. And that is what God has given to us, this precious faith. And it says, through the righteousness of God. And most of us know that, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we were born again, God gave us the righteousness of Jesus. He took the sins of the world upon himself. And praise God for that. And so we have obtained this precious faith through the righteousness of God. He goes on to say in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So here we have this first introduction to the key word of the book. Shows up 16 times, this word knowledge or knowing or know. The Bible says grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge. Well, we know there's only one place that we can increase in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, and that's in His Word. We must be in the Word of God. Go if you would, to John chapter 5. Jesus Christ made this very clear because, as you know, most of the people of the day rejected Jesus. So here in the Gospel of John chapter 5, look at verse 39 if you would. Very simple truth here from Christ, but so important. And he's speaking to the people that are surrounding him. Notice what he says, 5:39. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The New Testament's not even written yet, and yet Jesus tells the Jews, search the Scriptures. In other words, look in the Old Testament because it talks about me. Search the Scriptures. And it's still true for us today. God wants us to search the Scriptures. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus and of God. That is not going to happen unless we're willing to search the Scriptures and be in the Word of God. Go to Matthew 11, if you would, where Jesus Himself reminds us that one of our missions is to learn of Him, to learn who He is, to learn what He is. And notice here in Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is Jesus speaking. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Learn of me, Jesus says. Where do we do that? Through the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in church so that we can learn more of Jesus Christ. A couple Sundays ago, we talked about how God wants us to desire His Word. And we must have that right attitude toward the Word of God. If we don't have that attitude toward the Word of God, we saw that it will even hinder our prayers. But God wants us to be learning, constantly learning more about Jesus and about God. And that's only going to happen in the Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So go back to our passage, 2 Peter chapter 1. We find that God wants us to grow in our knowledge. We've been given this precious faith. Notice he says, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look at this next phrase, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So there it is again. Through the knowledge of him, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, when God saved us, He not only gave us eternal life, forgave our sins, gave us a home in heaven, but He gave us everything that we need to do what we're supposed to do. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Word of God. And as we'll see in a few minutes, He gave us even His divine nature. So that we can, as it says in this passage, live a godly life. Which is what he wants. He wants us to have a godly life, live in godliness. But how does that happen again? Through the knowledge. As we're in the Word of God, we grow, and we grow to become more like Jesus, to be more godly in our behavior. And that is all possible, as we see there, because of his divine power. So God empowers us with his divine power to be the kind of Christians he wants us to be. And as we'll see in a few moments, he even gave us his own nature to make it possible, which is really amazing when you think about it. Notice verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. One of the ways that we can go through our Christian lives with the right attitude and with the joy in our hearts that we're supposed to have is because the Bible's filled with amazing promises and we can claim those for our own selves. And as we read the Word of God, we come across these great promises and we're reminded what a great God we serve and that He's with us. And, you know, we could stop right now and spend the rest of the night just sharing the promises with each other that God has given to us. Call unto me and I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How about that one? God says, pray. I'll bless you. Paul told us in Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow, you mean God will provide all our needs? That's what He said. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We could go on and on. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So anybody on this side have a favorite promise they want to share? It's Wednesday night. We can do this. Got to be quick. Raise your hand, Mark.
Proverbs 3, 5, 6.
Yeah. Let me hear it.
Just in all the way you have in mind your understanding. No way. No chance.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? He shall direct thy paths. Christina? Amen. Isaiah 9:6. Beautiful. Okay, middle section. Anybody? Brave enough to share one promise? Nobody? Left section? In the light? Just one promise, Jackie. Philippians 1:6. Great verse. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? Faithful is He that calleth you, also will do it. We could just share promises all night. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We serve a wonderful God that has given us a book filled with literally thousands of promises. And they're ours. Because we're His children. And we can claim them for ourselves. And that will help us to be the kind of Christian God wants us to be. But notice, it's all about acquiring knowledge, and that knowledge comes from the book. Why do we know these promises? Because we're in the Word of God. He wants us to keep in the Word of God. He wants us to learn more of Jesus, learn more of God, so that we might grow, become more godly. And he finishes here in verse 4, which is kind of the key to the whole thing. And that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So we were given this precious faith when we were saved. We were also given the divine nature. We were given the ability to do what we need to do. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean that it's automatic. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, all right, from this day forward, I'm never going to sin again. Wouldn't that be great? It just doesn't work like that. Because what happens is when we're born again, now we have two natures. See, the unsaved people, they don't have to fight. They don't have a struggle. They just live for the devil because they are the devil's children. They just do what they naturally do, which is sin. But once we become saved, now the old man wants to keep sinning, but we have a divine nature as well. And they're constantly battling one another. You know, the Bible even tells us that in Galatians 5:17, that the spirit and the flesh are contrary the one to the other so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So now we've been given the divine nature, the nature of who? God, divine nature. And God will enable us to do the right thing, but it's up to us to yield to Him and let Him do it. Let's do a couple of verses on this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, talking about God imparting to us His divine nature when we were given this precious faith, salvation through Jesus Christ. We were also given a divine nature, along with, of course, His Word and these amazing promises, the ability to acquire knowledge, more knowledge of God. Notice Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when God saves us, He doesn't just say, okay, I'll see you when you come to heaven. Praise the Lord. He doesn't do that. He says, how about if I move in and start rearranging the furniture? How about if I go one further? If you'll let me, I will not only fulfill my will in your life, but I will do it myself. That's what the verse says, right? To will and to do of His good pleasure. So He will even accomplish His will through our lives if we will let Him. That's what it means when it talks about receiving the divine nature. It all comes down to us, though. It's a decision on our part whether or not we're willing to let Him. We are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost in us. And the Bible says we're to be filled with Him. We're to be led by Him. But that's up to us to make that a reality. Let's look at another one. Hebrews chapter 13. Talking about God imparting to us His divine nature when we're saved, when we receive this precious faith. And notice Hebrews 13 verse 21. If you would. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So notice it says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. He works in us. That's what 1 Peter is all about. Is God using trials to refine us? Remember, that was what we looked at last week. After that, you've suffered all, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So why does it take suffering to get us there? Well, because we're stubborn and we're selfish and we're self-centered, and we could go on all night. And it takes trials to bring about those refinements. But God's ultimate desire is to fulfill His will through us. We're His children now. He owns us. He purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And He not only gave us this precious faith, He gave us the divine nature. So, in other words, it can be done. God does not go through the New Testament commanding us to do a bunch of things that it's impossible for us to fulfill. It doesn't work like that. If He wouldn't have commanded it, then we couldn't do it. And if He did command it, then obviously we're capable of doing it, but only through Him. Because He's given us His divine nature. Look at the end of verse 4 of 2 Peter 1. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This isn't talking about escaping the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell. This isn't even talking about escaping sin itself, which is what happens at salvation. This is talking about escaping what the world does to us while we're on the earth after we're saved. In other words, it's possible to live for God because we've already escaped that corruption through Jesus Christ. It's already done. That's why we know verses like 1 Corinthians 10:13. There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make what? A way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's already done. So we've already escaped the corruption because we've already been given the divine nature. So what God is telling us in this passage is He wants us to live what's already true. We're already justified in Jesus Christ. We're already children of God. And we've already been given the divine nature. Now He wants us to live like divine children. And He will make it possible if we will just yield to Him. But the key to the whole thing, the whole book, and the whole thing is, it comes down to acquiring more and more knowledge about Him. Being in the Word of God, growing in the Word of God. And the more that we grow in the Word of God, the more we'll be able to yield to that divine nature. The more we'll be able to claim these great promises that God gave us. And ultimately live for Jesus like He wants us to. But it always comes down to our decision in the end. So, great beginning to the book here in 1 Peter. We've been given a precious faith. We've been given the divine nature. You know what God wants? He wants us to live it, the divine nature. He wants us to live like children of God. as we saw in Ephesians. We're called children of light. Bible says walk as children of light. We already are children of light. Now walk like children of light. God says, you can do it. Because I'll give you my own nature to make it possible. I'll give you my word to feed you and to build you and to help you along the way. If you'll just be in it and just keep learning more and more about God and about Jesus, God will make it a reality. So praise the Lord. From precious faith to divine nature, that's God's will for each one of us. Let's pray.